Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. This is our very first guest-free show. It's just me and Justin. Hey, Justin, how you doing?
Hey, been a while.
Yeah, it's been a little while. It's also been a busy fucking month. My God.
Oh, my God. I can't take another month like this.
Yeah, no, I'm finished. I'm so glad. I mean, I kind of wish I was at Otakon because I missed my East Coast friends.
Yeah,
and I haven't seen any of them in so long, but I'm so happy I'm not there right now.
Well, you're like, you were really sick this week.
No, yeah, and I still kind of am. I got what I thought was con crud at San Diego that turned out to be more than con crud. But I'm okay. I'm lucid and functioning. And I did, yeah, right. And I went to the movies today, so we could talk about that in a little bit. But
woohoo, spread those germs.
Yeah, right. Now, I'm not contagious. What I had is actually not contagious. But that's not interesting. Let's not be old men who talk about our health problems on the podcast. So I do want to talk about Comic-Con, and you're allergic to Comic-Con.
I hate it passionately.
Right, naturally, just sort of allergic to the entire idea of Comic-Con. And I have to admit, like, not a good year this year. Not for me, anyway. I didn't really have a great time. I mean, I had a great time seeing my friends that I see at Comic-Con every year. But the show itself, meh. Let me put it to you this way. So the only thing that I really wanted to see this year, and usually every year I take it easy. I don't care about lines. I don't care about not getting in to see everything. I pick like one or two things I really want to see, and I plan to see those things.
Mm-hmm.
And this year it was the Game of Thrones panel, which was also apparently like the hottest ticket at the show. Like that's what everybody really wanted to see.
There really wasn't much there.
There wasn't much there. Well, I mean, that's actually a little overplayed. Spider-Man was there, Tintin was there, Prometheus was there. You know, there was plenty of big stuff, but it wasn't like it was in previous years where they're showing off, like, massive, massive things. So there's plenty of stuff there, but Bamboo and I usually camp. Now, camping at Comic-Con means they don't clear the rooms. They never clear the rooms. So you get into the busy rooms and you just sit there until whatever it is you want to see starts. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to see the Game of Thrones panel. We want to see the Game of Thrones panel. It started at 3 o'clock. We left for the convention to get into the room at 9 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Now, that sounds terrible.
Yes. yes, it does.
But the really terrible part about that is it's a gamble. There's no guarantee that showing up at 9 a.m. means we're actually going to get into the room and see what you're going to see or what we wanted to see. So we're literally lining up for the chance to maybe get in the room and sit there for hours until our panel starts. Okay, now I'm used to this. I've done it 100 times. Well, not 100 times. I've only been to Comic-Con. This is my 6th Comic-Con. So I've done it 6 times, I guess. So we get there at 9:30 in the morning or so, and we magically are right there at the exact right time to basically just walk in. I mean, right. So we go through the whole line. We get through the entire line, and we walk right in. We spent maybe 45 minutes, half an hour, maybe, in line outside, and we never really stopped moving. So Bamboo and I literally high-fiving each other getting into Ballroom 20. Because we're like, oh, yeah, we're totally going to see Game of Thrones. We totally got in. Because once you get into the room, you don't have to leave. You can stay. You're going to see what you want to see.
Right.
Which is supposed to be a victory. However, this was on Thursday. And the panel programming in that room was all USA Network shows. So,
oh, God.
So I got the pleasure of sitting through the Burn Notice panel.
Which,
Bamboo and I don't watch any of that shit. So we were literally sitting there just melting from boredom for like 4 hours. And the final panel in the room before Game of Thrones was Sarah Michelle Gellar's new show on the CW. I mean,
holy shit, you earned that panel.
It's death. We earned it, and the panel was not... I mean, okay, so this is the other interesting thing about this particular panel. It was kind of the hot ticket at the show. We were informed right before the panel started that there were 7,000 people in line outside waiting to try and get into the room right before Game of Thrones started.
Oh, boy.
So, and literally maybe 200 people leave the room after every panel. So it's a total gamble. And it's kind of a huge waste of time. I don't know. The panel was neat, but it was not good enough to make up for the, like, 4 hours of numbing boredom. And the fact that if we had shown up even a half an hour later than we did, we wouldn't have gotten into the room.
I was going to say, there are just so few shows that I like that much to make wasting that much time worthwhile.
Well, right, exactly. And the other thing was, like, during the Game of Thrones panel, they bring out the whole cast, and I was pretty much there to see Peter Dinklage, who plays Tyrion Lannister, who's the best character on the show. And I've loved him since The Station Agent anyway. And he's a real actor's actor and everything like that. But he showed up and clearly gave no fuck. Like, he did not give a shit about being in that room or on that. He had the most bored, fuck this, fuck you guys look on his face the whole time. And it was kind of funny. But at the same time, I was like, man, I waited a really long time. Maybe a funny anecdote or something. Like, not like Dance Monkey Dance, not like that, but just like, maybe seem like you care about being here. It was just a little bit inside. I was like, oh, man, he doesn't even want to be here. This sucks. Like, it was just kind of, and the whole room was full of fangirls, fangirling out over the two hot guys on the show or whatever. So all the questions were total bullshit. Like, oh, what was it like learning how to fight and stuff like that. It was just, they gave us a bag of swag. I was happy with that. I'm happy I was in the room. Like, not many people I know actually even got in there, and I'm happy I saw it, but it was a trial. And immediately after that panel was over, I was so ready to go home.
And then you had two more days.
And then I had three more days. Three more days. But, I mean, I saw old friends and stuff. I mean, Comic-Con's there. I love Comic-Con just because everybody, almost everyone I know that I've ever worked with has to go there. So I get to see old friends that I've never seen in a long time. And that's the fun part about Comic-Con, but... Oh, man.
At some point, I mean, I know a lot of people that go to Comic-Con, too, but I don't know. It's just – I don't care that much about virtually anything that they have. I mean, the closest I would have come is that community panel last year, and I just wasn't on board community yet.
Yeah, and well, that's – you know, that is the good thing. Like, I'll never go to another Game of Thrones panel, and I've seen a community panel live, and that was really cool experience and super fun. I'll never do it again. But I saw it the one time, and that was neat. It's kind of like seeing a band you like live. It is kind of like that. So there is something to it. It's not like it's a totally empty experience.
Right.
But I got to say, like, I hope next year is a little bit better, or there's something more that's interesting that I really want to see or something. I don't know. Just this, I wasn't quite feeling it this year in terms of the programming, so I kind of envied you not being there.
Well, I was working my ass off here at home, so it's not like I was taking it easy that weekend.
Yeah, no, you've been super busy lately.
Yeah, not all with A&N work. A lot of it has been A&N work, I'll be honest. I actually have just finished directing my first music video.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. You've seen it.
I've seen it, yes.
In a nascent form.
I've seen a rough cut, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a rough cut. It looks a lot better than that now. But, yeah, it's for the band New Division, who does our theme song.
Right.
Our new theme song.
It's not a reggae video. Yeah, that's probably good.
But I'm really proud of how it turned out. I don't know when they're releasing it yet, but when it does, I will post it to my Twitter.
Cool. Well, everyone keep an eye out for that. Is there a window for that? Is it just whenever it's done, or are they like planning on timing it to something? Or?
Well, it's done, but the album they announced, Shadows, comes out, I think, end of September. But they might release it. They'll probably release it sooner just to, you know, kind of build anticipation for the album. So I don't know yet.
Cool. All right. Well, you know, let us know.
Will do.
So have you seen any – we'll get to anime in a little bit, but have you seen any movies lately?
Nothing in theaters. I saw this really fantastic British movie that is Criterion put out called Fish Tank, which is a kind of this teen angst in the projects movie about a kind of a troubled teen girl. And it was so good, I got halfway through the movie on Netflix and ran out and bought it.
Wow. Okay.
Now, mind you, I am a sucker for teen angst, as would be indicated by my love of anime. Mm. But this one is really kind of a cut above. I mean, it's thick Essex accents. So if you have trouble with Londoner accents, you might have trouble understanding them. Mm-hmm. But just a great film about a girl who just dreams of getting out, but is just so full of anger and rage that she constantly clubs herself in the ankles, figuratively. All
right. Okay. Oh, figuratively, okay.
Yes. For example, her mother's, who's just kind of a floozy, is dating this really attractive young guy, and so she kind of takes it upon herself to try to steal him away from her mother. Just one of many misadventures she gets into.
Interesting, man. I'll have to rent that.
It's really, really good.
Cool.
What have you, well, you've been stuck at home, but I imagine Netflix has been firing on all cylinders.
Well, today was the first day where I felt, I mean, you can only stay quarantined for so long, and today I felt good enough to leave the house and finally get around to seeing Captain America. Which
you say that with not enthusiasm.
No, I really, it was a lot of fun. I didn't go into it thinking it was going to be the most amazing thing I'd ever seen, but it was a perfectly competent action movie. And while I was watching it, I was like, this is probably as good as a Captain America movie possibly could be. Just in terms of being competently executed, decent dialogue, action scenes are shot okay. I got a huge kick out of it because Hugo Weaving is playing this Nazi skeleton, basically. And he's doing Werner Herzog the entire time. Like, it is a deliberately Werner Herzog voice. And I was just tickled by it. It was just like, oh, you're so going to do this the whole time, aren't you? To the point where he slips into it so hard near the end of the film that it's almost like comical. Like, how much of a Werner Herzog voice he's doing. But it's totally, I mean, if you're familiar with the character, I mean, I'm kind of surprised that, aside from the misery that was Green Lantern, the superhero movies have been pretty good this summer. I've liked two-thirds of them. So, walked out of it satisfied and feeling like I was at least entertained. You know, good summer popcorn stuff, not insulting or stupid or anything like that. Captain America is just the last in a line of them, I guess, and then next year we're going to get the Avengers, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was perfectly fine. I wouldn't recommend it to you, of course.
No.
You would hate every minute, I think.
Probably.
Well, you can appreciate a decently, even if you might not enjoy it, you can appreciate a decently constructed action movie. And it's definitely that. They did a decent job with the period piece stuff. So
let me put it to you this way. I can turn my brain off, but I have to find and somehow really work the plug out of the socket.
Well, here's the thing about these movies. They're not quite turn your brain off. They're not turn your brain off to ignore horrible dialogue, you know, bad direction, bad music, bad filmmaking choices. The quality of the filmmaking is at least like a B, you know, maybe a C+. You're not talking about bad movies here. Turn your brain off for me is like Transformers, where I can't shut my functions down that much in order to enjoy something like that.
Yeah, I might have to, like, you know, that's not just turn your brain off. That's seal it in, you know, a Ziploc bag while it goes through the X-ray.
Stop being a moderately intelligent person. But no, Captain America was totally fine. I was totally fine with it. Although I have to admit, like, speaking of which, Comic-Con, Paramount was flying a Captain America banner around the convention center, like in the Sky Banner, all weekend. And let me ask you this. Do you think that's a smart use of marketing dollars? Do you think that they have to convince people at Comic-Con to go see Captain America?
No.
Why? I don't understand. People are going to see it at Comic-Con. It's so ridiculous. But yeah, there's that. And then I did finally see The Tree of Life.
And?
Well, it was great. It's great, but the more, you know, I recently revisited both Days of Heaven and The Thin Red Line on Blu-ray. And I'm a huge fan of Terrence Malick, but he's one of these filmmakers that is like a band you really like, who you're not sure who to recommend it to, and if you liked one of his albums, you'll like all of his albums. So seeing Tree of Life, I was like, this is awesome. And it's so Terrence Malick. Like, but, I mean, he is exploring themes bigger than he's ever explored before, that's for sure. And the movie, it's one of the first movies that I think I've seen that operates on this weird sort of expanding scale where you're starting at a pin drop and you're expanding out into the massive macro thing. And I really, I mean, I was in love with it the whole time. But if you're not a fan of Terrence Malick, it's not for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was my first Terrence Malick movie.
Right.
So
you like the way he sounds. You're probably going to pick up his other albums at some point.
Yes. yes, I am.
Right. And that's just one of those things. It's like you either like the band or you don't. And yes, it's kind of hard. And I hate to be a little dismissive in terms of the way I talk about the film, but that's kind of all I have to say about it. It's like, do you like Terrence Malick? It's like, yeah. All right, well, go see it. What are you waiting for? You know, it's a weird thing. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get you. The one film I'm really looking forward to seeing that actually I think is coming is just ArcLight alone this week is Attack the Block.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, can't wait to see that.
That's actually I just got an email from ArcLight that Edgar Wright and one of the actors is going to do a Q&A one of the screenings this week. But and I was just about to just pounce on that and then I realized, oh wait. I've seen Edgar Wright Q&As before, and I couldn't sit through them.
He's great on a podcast.
heavily edited podcast, I imagine.
He's great on a podcast. He's great in an interview. I mean, yeah, we saw Scott Pilgrim with a Q&A with him.
Yeah.
And he is a fascinating guy with a lot of fascinating things to say. But for
all
whatever
at once.
Reason, well, for whatever reason, like, I kind of have a low, like, when I'm done seeing a movie, I want to go process it. I want to go think about it. I want to go, if it's a good movie, I want to go think about it.
Right.
I don't really want to sit there and listen to a Q&A session for an hour and a half afterward. So, yeah.
It also depends on who it is. I mean, if it's just light banter, I'm more up for the light banter actually rather than this fire hose of commentary track.
Yeah.
I'm not in the mood for that at that moment.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, that's what, if I feel like hearing that, I'll watch the commentary track when the DVD comes out, you know?
Yeah.
Not immediately after in feature-length form.
But Attack the Block looks like a total blast. One friend of mine has seen it already. He said it was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm hearing nothing but best movie of the year. That's all I hear, is that it's totally great. I also really want to see 30 minutes or less, but I'm a huge fan of Aziz Ansari and... yeah.
Yeah, that will probably be one of those movies that you love and I just kind of like.
Yeah, right. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm a little... The trailers are selling it as like a comedy action a la Pineapple Express. I didn't really care for Pineapple Express that much, so...
Did anybody?
Yeah, it was one of those great trailer, not a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so anime.
Anime.
Let's talk about anime.
Yeah, did you watch anything this week?
Yes. Well, I have a lot of stuff I need to watch and just didn't get to because I kept passing out.
Right.
Falling asleep. The one thing that I really meant to get to and did was Katana Gatari, which, full disclosure, you worked on.
Yeah, I authored the Blu-rays.
The Blu-rays for it, right. So that's a freelance gig for you, just... Full
yes.
disclosure, everyone knows you authored the Blu-rays, which looked very good, by the way.
Thank you.
I was expecting to kind of like this show. I don't know why. I think it's the sort of unorthodox character designs.
I really love the art of that show.
Yeah, the art's really, really nice. The show... well, okay, so these are 45-minute episodes. They're not traditional length. And was this an OVA? Did it air on TV?
I think it aired on TV, but it was like a kind of a special. I think it was like a once a month thing.
Okay. No,
I don't know for sure, actually.
No, I think you're right. I think it was like a once a month thing where one episode would come out every month. And there's six episodes in this set, which is the standard NIS, you know, special edition, big cardboard box or what chipboard box with the art book and stuff in it. Very nice set. The show, and I was warned about this. This is by this
Nishi Osen.
Yeah, right. Okay, so he's a light novel author,
right?
And let me tell you, The writing is atrocious. Like, I couldn't believe it. And I actually started counting the minutes, and I turned the timer on to see how long it would fucking take them to explain the premise of the show. Once they get into, like, the 10th minute of basically saying, we need to collect these 12 monster swords, it takes them a really long time to explain that shit. Like, and it's all this unnecessary exposition, people telling things they already know. Well, as your sister, well, as you know, our father died. Like, the worst kind of shitty, badly written exposition. Terrible writing. Terrible writing. And super verbose, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, if you'd have truncated this or simplified it a little bit, which you could easily, because it's a basic shonen manga premise, this wouldn't need to be 45 minutes. So I'm wondering, like, is there an audience that just loves his shit and wanted this to be, like, a full, like, complete adaptation, and that's why it's so long and so ridiculous?
That's the feeling I get. And now, how far did you get?
I watched the first episode and part of the second episode and then said, okay, I gotta go.
Yeah, that, well, the first half of the second episode is particularly toxic.
More so that, than the first half of the first episode.
Well, the scene I'm thinking of in particular is there is a 10-minute scene where the protagonist, Shichika, and the girl that he goes off with on this adventure have a 10-minute back-and-forth talking head, not funny banter about what his catchphrase should be. It's not easy to sit through.
No, it's not. And I don't understand, like, because the...
And it should not be there.
Yeah, because the designs are so nice and the backgrounds are so nice. And when they're fighting, the animation's really nice.
Oh, the fight scenes are great.
Yeah, it's great. Why is it 45 minutes? It's like they added 20 minutes of unnecessary bullshit.
Now, I haven't sat through the whole thing. I only, you know, spot checked of, you know, when I was authoring, but... I've gotten a bit further than you. I've gotten to, like, episode 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
It does get better. Oh, a lot okay. better.
All right.
It picks up a lot.
Because I like the way it looks so much, and I'm okay with the premise as, like, okay, basic shonen kind of thing. That I want it to be better. So maybe I'll just, you know, give it a shot and watch a little bit more.
Yeah, it goes on a pretty, you know, stable upward curve. Like, you know, the beginning starts off pretty, you know, it's a slog. And then a few episodes later, it picks up. And a few episodes later, it picks up. And from what I can tell, the ending is really intense. I'm working on the second set now.
Okay, well, so, I mean, I'll give it a shot. I know you would.
I'm going to stick with it casually. I can't watch shows while I'm working on them because I can't enjoy them because I just go into QC mode.
Yeah, one thing I got to point out, though, the subs on this thing, now that I have you here.
Uh-oh.
Too low to the bottom of the screen. I prefer them to be a little higher up. If you're watching them on a relatively decent-sized TV, they're just a little low. And
I've heard low and tiny.
They're a little small, and the grammar, and I assume it's just the way the people are talking, because it's kind of an old-timey thing, but the grammar is really bizarre. Like, the sentence structure and the flow of the English is really weird, to the point where it's kind of hard to understand sometimes the syntax and context of what they're saying. Like, it's a little tough. I don't know. But it could be the medication talking. I'm on very powerful antibiotics, so...
No, I know what you're talking about, and I did not work on the translation and cannot comment on it.
Okay, well, anyway, that's my comment on that. Little hard to understand. Little hard to understand, but at the same time, they could have just said, we have to collect these 12 monster swords, and that's all the setup you need.
Well, yes, but then it becomes, you know, every other shonen show in the world.
Right, so let's have 5,000 lines of dialogue to explain.
Oh, I know what you mean. There's a happy medium, is my point.
Right? Yes, you are absolutely correct. Any other anime that you watch?
Yeah. Like I said, this was a week of watching a lot of stuff for me because, you know, but mostly in the background. And thank God, I've been meaning to check out Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood for a really, really long time. Because I think I caught like one episode when Funimation just first started simulcasting it.
Yeah, that's what
I was just like, eh, not for me.
Hmm. Now it's available dubbed,
which is way easier for me to watch while multitasking on Netflix. So I got like 4 episodes in, and wow, this show is not anywhere near as good as its predecessor yet.
Well, they tell you gotta wait till episode 13.
it's so rushed and it's so cartoony and pays so little attention to little things. Like one of the great things about the first series, the original series, is the attention to the fine details of timing and body language. That's the lifeblood of a show. That's the sign of a great director, anime or live action. That's what gives it its emotional depth. And when you have a show that just kind of plows right past that, it's really tough to connect to.
Yeah, no, so that's a real issue in the series?
It's huge. It's basically the first, so far, it's the first about 10 episodes of the regular series, the original series, on fast forward with more super deformed.
Hilarious.
Yeah, and it's not funny, and I'm just like, it's like watching a combination of a sequel and a reboot, and with all the trappings that implies. Now, once it veers off, I mean, I'm going to stick with it because I hear it gets good, but man, it's on thin ice with me.
So the show's kind of haunted us since 2 years ago, since we started this podcast. And, you know, we were talking about it back then as though, like, it's more of the same. Why do I need to see this show again? It's not that interesting. I don't care about this that much. And I still have not really gotten through much of it, but in the back of my head, I want to. Otherwise, I wouldn't care. Otherwise, I wouldn't even bother, you know, thinking about it. But I do care. I do want to see if it gets good. And enough people have said gets good. So I'm gonna try, and you know, I'll definitely give it a shot, just so I can at least talk about it and have an opinion about the whole show, and I can talk about it intelligently and say, okay, here's what I think about this thing. And that's, you know, that's probably why I'm gonna watch it, just 'cause. And now that it's all out, I guess I'm happy. So.
Well, I'm really happy that, you know, the dub is more or less the same dub. I mean, I got really attached to the dub of the old show.
Yeah, it was a good dub.
So it's just it's like putting on a nice jacket that you've had in storage for a while. You were attached to emotionally, but smells kind of bad now. maybe you need to run it through the laundry.
I hope, I mean, I know it was a DigiPaint show and it would just be upscale, but I kind of do hope they put out the first show on Blu-ray. That'd be nice.
Or at least better DVDs than they are. Those were from the rough period of Funimation's authoring, and they never reauthored them like they did so many others.
Oh, it's just repackage over repackage.
Exactly.
Yeah, interesting. All right. Well, we got a lot of Twitter questions. So maybe we should get to that.
Okay.
All right. Wayne01 asks, what are your favorite parts of your job any given day? Go ahead, Justin.
Well, lately my job has been all video encoding. And that's kind of just – and just managing of the assets. And that's kind of a chore. But I really like writing, and I'm going to be doing more writing in the near future. I'm not quite ready to announce that yet. Mm. But yeah, that's the favorite part of my job, honestly, is the sharing, the digging up stuff, the sharing of stuff, and then the interaction with the people afterwards and seeing the reaction.
Yeah.
And this.
It's pretty much, you were right. Yeah, pretty much. I got the same answer. Like, I really like interacting with people. I like when the fans want to talk and you know, engage with the content that I'm creating. I really love all the writers that I work with, and certainly love seeing them during convention season. It's been great this past month getting to see some of them. You know, I finally have someone helping me out with editorial. Gia's finally on board on editorial.
I have to say, this is probably the first time in my life that I genuinely like everybody that I work with.
Yeah.
There is nobody that I want to push down a flight of stairs.
That's good news for us. Yeah, no, I mean, I love this job. Everyone complains about their job, even when you have a really cool job. But I can't, you know, there isn't really anything about this job that I truly hate. Even, like, Preview Guide, which is grueling, I still love it. It's still cool. I still enjoy doing it. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's not just, like, one part or one thing. I don't know. I am forever thankful. I count my blessings as often as I can.
Yeah, I agree.
Not only, mostly just because I'm employed.
Well, there's that, and the insane amount of freedom it gives us.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can say, F it, I'm going to go see a movie at 2 in the afternoon and then come back and work until you pass out.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, working from home gives you certain freedoms. You can make your own hours. But, going to a movie at 2 means you're going to be working until 8 or 9 or 10.
Or 11, yeah.
Or 11 or 12, or 12, yeah. But you do have that freedom. It's not like an office environment where you have to kind of kill time until 5. You can decide when it is you're going to be doing things, and it's nice. It's nice.
That took a lot of getting used to for me.
Yeah, sort of. I don't know. I guess I was used to the wizard environment before this, where you were there until 7, whether you liked it or not, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, so Botoggle asks, how glad are you to not be working at Otakon?
Not.
I mean, I have reasons why I'm glad I'm not there, but I do still wish I were there.
Well, after the marathon of a month that both of us had, it clearly just didn't work out for either of us. But I really, really hope I'm working Otakon next year.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I'd like to go. They moved Comic-Con back a week, so I might have the spare time in there to justify making the trip. We'll see.
And hopefully there'll be a reason for me to go as well.
Yeah, right. See, yeah, I always have a reason because I have to work.
Right.
I have a legitimate job to do. You just hanging out.
Right now I would be, yeah.
Right. Okay. Invalid name. Opinions on Disney letting the Mononoke license lapse. I don't think that's...
It hasn't lapsed.
Yeah, it hasn't lapsed, right?
We don't know what's happened. It probably got transferred to somebody who doesn't know that it's part of their catalog yet. Miramax, the library got bought out by a holding company that redistributed it among a few other companies. That buyout only happened about 9 or 10 months ago. And Mononoke isn't a top tier title in the Miramax catalog. That would be Clerks. That would be, Shakespeare in Love.
Pulp Fiction. Yeah.
Or Pulp Fiction.
Which comes out in a month, by the way, 2 months.
Right. So that's what everyone's paying attention to. I don't, and because it's a sub-license and not an outright buyout, there might be some additional weirdness involved where, Ghibli has to clear whoever currently owns it or for whatever reason. So we don't know what happened. I highly doubt it's lapsed because... When studios buy the rights to something, they're in the business of creating a huge catalog that they can milk until we all die in a nuclear holocaust. So there's a strong possibility that all of the Disney contracts are ad infinitum.
Yeah, I would be totally shocked if that actually got somebody managed to put their hand in and pull it out of the horrible legal mess that must be the rights to that movie. Like, extracting that from Disney would be a Herculean effort.
I don't think it's for sale. I really don't. I think it was part of that right. Miramax catalog.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, okay. The odds that you will not see that come out from Disney here about 6 months after it hits the Japanese Blu-ray market are virtually zero.
Or whoever owns it.
Or whoever, right. From the Rhino, what's your opinion on live-action anime adaptations? Good, bad, how to make a good one?
Well, that was a very quick question that has like a film school four-year answer.
I just wanted to make a good one. That's all.
Yeah.
Somebody make a good one, please. That would be great. I'll stand by Speed Racer, but somebody needs to make a good one that's accessible to a large audience and, blockbuster-friendly.
Well, I think a lot of the stuff that they're optioning is simply not going to make a good live action movie. The reason that it got attention was because it worked well with the pop art style of anime. And the stuff that would work really well in live action is probably not the big stuff that they're seeking out.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff they're picking up just seems to be just blind basic name recognition.
Yeah,
it's like I've heard of Ghost in the Shell. Sure, buy it, whatever.
Yeah, that doesn't work in live action. Imagine the Major's naked invisibility suit.
The only way to make that look acceptable is to make it look like a sci-fi original TV show. Like, just the design, just the designs. Like, think about those.
You're not
one. But think about those designs. Like, that would look like a sci-fi TV show.
It would.
it just would.
Ugh.
Like, a lot of the stuff, you really have to have super creative and really talented people doing it just the right way. You know, I mean, I respect the artists and stuff that work on this kind of shit. I assume they can come up with way better ideas than I ever could even imagine. There's a team out there that could put together a really kick-ass live-action English-language Akira. They could. I have full faith that they could. The amount of talent among artists working in Hollywood is incredible. But you have to get just the right team. They have to do it just the right way, and they have to find just the right balance. And
Akira is better suited to it than Bebop or Ghost in the Shell.
Well, Bebop, nah, I don't know. I remain convinced that Bebop could be good.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the things I think of, the more mundane things that would make good live action stuff, you know, why aren't they doing, you know, Eden of the East? That doesn't require that much.
No.
You could make that decently.
Yeah, that's true. The Ava Monkey asks, if you could host any 18-plus panel at a convention, what would it be and why?
Actually, I would not mind emceeing a hentai night.
Right. Well, you could probably bring some fun stuff to something like that.
Thank you. Or you didn't mean hentai.
No, I meant hentai. You have all those clips of, like, really bad old dubs.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, while I was at CPM, I did have I did contribute some of our product to hentai nights at various cons, and I had a blast. Mostly because the dialogue sounds so, even if it's a good dub, it sounds so much more offensive and odious in English than when you're reading subtitles. And when the object is to get people to jump up and down and scream and go, it's so much more effective when, you know, you have it right there in front of you.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, I think that could be fun. I can't really think of anything off the top of my head I would actually want to run as an 18 and over only panel.
I'm kind of over the whole, whole appeal of that scene, though.
Yeah,
I'm kind of done with that.
Yeah,
you know, once you experience the lights all coming up once because someone realized that the little bottle of conditioner from the hotel looks just like jizz, and has started squirting it on people, you're just like, okay, I'm done with this.
Right, just like how I only needed to go to the Rocky Horror Picture Show once when I was 19. I don't ever need to sit through that shit again. It was fairly unpleasant and annoying.
I was going to say, that doesn't even sound fun the first time. That movie's terrible.
You got to do it once, just so, you know, just so you can say you've seen it, but you're 10, 12 years older than you need to be.
Yeah. At this point, I'm just like, oh, fine. If you kids think it's fun to watch your porno with the crowd, go for it.
Yeah, whatever, man. Okay, have fun, kids. I'll be drinking. All right. Modern Rocker asks, do you guys still regularly buy anime, and how much of that is importing? Yes, I still regularly buy anime if it's something I want and didn't get a review copy that I personally reviewed. We generally only get about one copy of things, and if someone else is going to review it, I send it out to them, which is 99% of the time. So that means anything I get in that I'm not personally going to review, it gets sent out the door, so I gotta buy that stuff. And that's pretty common. I would say, like, once a month, about. So what about you, Justin?
I do buy quite a bit. Probably at least a disc every 1 or 2 months. I mean, there's not a lot coming out that I want, but enough that, you know, I still buy quite a bit of disc. As far as imports go, there's not... I mean, most of the classics have already been reissued. And unless something is a giant epic classic, I won't bother with the import. So, once every 4 months, 5 months or so.
Yeah, I don't really import much of anything. The last time I imported something was Nausicaa, and that was because I just liked the packaging. And if I really like the packaging of something, I will import it. But that's very rare.
I just got the Italian Blu-ray of Venus Wars. and spent a feverish 48 hours pretty much without sleep reauthoring it into a nice 24p English Blu-ray.
There you go. My God.
I have problems. Like, it, literally, I couldn't sleep until it was done.
Yeah. Okay, then. All right. Clippia asks, a lot of obscure mid-2000s shows that no one really cared about are getting sub-only releases by Sentai, like mm-hmm. Ray and Himawari. Are they starting to go the ADV way of releasing everything they can to obtain cheaply without caring about popularity?
Sure seems like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I've got a little, tiny little itsy-bitsy bit more insight into what their thought process is, and they're doing okay, and that stuff, I guess they've gotten it down to where it's cheap enough to where, you know, putting something out like Ray or whatever doesn't really damage their bottom line. It's just, you know, throw something at the wall, see if it sticks. If it doesn't, move on to the next thing. I don't think they're blowing a shitload of money on this stuff. I think they've gotten the prices down to where this is a viable business model because they're doing okay.
I hope you're right. I know for a fact a lot of that stuff does not sell.
No, I know. But
I mean, and you know, it, if it's just a sub-only DVD, that's one thing. Or if they're make, but if they're making a dub and making a Blu-ray, that's some investment, right?
Well, none
there,
of that
even
stuff,
if they got the license really cheap.
Well, the stuff that they're talking about is the sub-only Blu-ray and not sub-only DVD stuff.
Oh yeah, they can fart that stuff out for nothing.
The only thing they release on Blu-ray with a dub are things that they think and or have viable evidence is going to make some money.
Right.
That is definitely how their business model is working.
That's probably smart.
Right. So, like, they got huge numbers on Demon King Diamond. High School of the Dead's a no-brainer.
Right.
Angel Beats is going to sell. You know, they're going to be okay. It's a key show.
Zammed enough people bought and then regretted that we're...
Yeah.
Oh, God. I that show started off so good.
Right. You bought it, right?
I bought it, and I was, like, I was riveted. And then the second volume came, and I'm like, oh, really? I don't think I've made it past episode 17.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's their business plan. That's their business model. It's just like, if we think this might actually move, we put it out on Blu-ray with a dub. If it not, and then it gets a sub only DVD and gets dumped out onto the market. It seems like that's their plan, which, hey, seems to be working. All right. XB Saint asks, how far do you think Western co-productions will go? Will we see a Western written produced Gundam, etc., or just anime of our IPs? I do not think we will ever see a Western produced or written Gundam.
No. not while the Japanese still kind of secretly don't really want us there. Which will probably be until the day you and I die.
Yeah.
The thing is, the reason that Americans initiate co-pros with Japan is because we want them to make something that they won't make on their own. And that's pretty much it.
Right. We, you know, pitch them on ideas that sort of fit into that weird niche where it's just enough people still think anime is cool and also like this video game property or whatever that might actually buy this.
Exactly.
You know, that kind of, it's like, there's this one particular hole we know needs to be filled. Can you please fill it? Here is some money, kind of a thing.
Right. And that tends to be where those co-productions more or less lie at this point.
Right.
Maybe at some point there will be a truly original American-based project, but that hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah. No, it's been a long time. I mean, I'm happy to see those co-productions. I hope they do well. But, I don't know. It's hard to tell. I don't think we're ever going to see the Joss Whedon's Mobile Suit Gundam or anything like that. I don't think that's ever really going to happen.
Well, also, it tends to be that they just get the bottom barrel of Hollywood writers to write those things.
Yeah.
I mean, almost all of them that I've seen have been unwatchable. Just in sheer concept, even.
Yeah. Like, they didn't really think it through.
Yeah. And you know, there tends to be there's a tendency that I've noticed among here that everyone, quote unquote, likes anime and wants to say that they get anime, but most people haven't taken the time to really study it or figure out why it works the way it does. So the end result is you get a lot of people going, eh, it's a cartoon. And then you get something that feels like an American cartoon, which there's a reason why we went to Japan for this stuff to begin with.
Well, you know, I wouldn't even say that. I would just say you get something that feels like no one making it gave a shit.
Or that.
You know, or really cared that much. It was just like, yeah, whatever. Okay, here you go.
I think Animatrix might be the sole exception to that.
It is. I think it is. You know, Amazon just had a big sale on that Blu-ray box. It was like $26 for the whole shebang. And I'm kind of looking forward to seeing that thing again, because I remember at least a couple of those segments being really good.
Yeah, Koji Morimoto's in particular.
Which one were his?
That's the one with the girl in the abandoned abandoned alley.
Oh, yeah. No, my favorites were, what's his face? He did Blue Submarine number 6.
Oh, yeah.
He did the basically the sort of prequel, like, Rise of the Robots sequences that were really disturbing and really well done. Like, I thought those were really cool. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I'm looking forward to revisiting it.
Those were a little too nerd Bible for me.
Yeah, I mean, well, but they were very concisely told.
That's true.
And very straightforward and just kind of a nice little piece of sort of fucked up science fiction. That was neat, I thought. It's been a while, though. I'll revisit it. Okay, Alphonse0079 asks, what are your guys' thoughts on trends in anime? Any trends you wish didn't happen or ones you wished could have been set?
Well, I think people that listen to this show already know the answer to that one.
I think so. I think you're right. I'm kind of at a point where if you make something that makes a lot of money and sells, bravo to you, sir. And if you make something that I really like, bravo to you, sir. And if you make something that's horrible but follows a bunch of really awful trends and no one likes it and no one buys it, you're a failure. The end.
Right.
Okay.
That's probably a good way to go through life.
There you go. There you go. all right, V-Guy. When trying to get Japanese guests at American conventions is a problem factor that certain guests don't get America. By which he means Hideaki Anno has not guested at a USA convention since Evangelion originally came out. And it turns out that Anno has very outspoken criticisms of the USA. So I guess his question is, like, do we have trouble bringing people over from Japan because they don't like America?
If Sho Aikawa was able to come to an American convention, I'm sure that can be overcome.
Right.
I mean, that guy has penned more anti-American, bizarrely racist, angry look at the world power fall sort of anime than pretty much all the rest of the industry put together. That said, I'm pretty sure Hideaki Anno isn't coming back because the fans berated him for making an ending that they didn't like and was horribly insulted.
Right. Yeah, I would imagine if someone's had a bad experience here, they're not going to come back.
Right.
Why would you? You know?
Honestly, from what I've heard, the biggest problems in getting Japanese guests are they don't have time.
Right.
You know, they're too busy working and making a living. And holy crap, that's a 16-hour flight to Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's why AX, I guess, has more success. Well, I guess they don't, because they don't... Like, Baltimore is this year, like, Otakon's guest list is substantially more impressive in terms of, like, Japanese creatives in the anime industry than most other cons.
Yeah, well, clearly they've overcome that, but I've heard in the past that has been issues, and various people have told me that's been issues.
Yeah, well, of course it is. Who wants to? I mean, God, if you told me, like, okay, we're going to give you $2,000, but it's a 16-hour flight, I'd be like, you know what? Keep your $2,000.
To go to Baltimore, right. That show from that city from The Wire,
right? And the end destination is Baltimore. No, thank you.
But they have crab.
Yes, they do. All right, from Bri Jar, any thoughts about the Battleship movie? No, not really.
I don't think anyone, even the creators, have had a thought about it.
did you even watch that trailer?
No. I know exactly what it is. I'm not clicking on that. It's like click on this link to Tub Girl.
looking forward to Chutes and Ladders next summer. I'll just say that.
Tinker Toys. That'll be an Oscar winner.
Yeah, favorite show from last season. I don't have one yet. I haven't really caught up too much on the summer season stuff. I'm a little behind. Yeah,
I am too. But I think I can easily say Tiger and Bunny.
Oh, you mean from spring? Oh, okay.
You said last season.
Whenever anyone says last season, I think of what is the most recent preview guide, because that is just how my brain works now. So yes, absolutely, Tiger and Bunny. I'm still really enjoying that show. It's quite good.
I'm a little behind, but I still like it.
Yeah, I'm a few behind. I'm on like episode 9 or 10 or something like that.
Yeah, I'm more behind. I'm on 5.
Oh, okay.
But I wish it was darker, but I kind of understand why it's not, and I'm accepting of it.
This is one of those things, and I got to say, I just want it on Blu-ray. I don't want to watch it streaming. I just want it on Blu-ray, please. Like, I don't really like streaming as a way to watch TV shows that I'm interested in. I really just prefer either having it on TV or having it on Blu-ray. Call me old-fashioned, but that's just how I like it. I'd much rather just have the Tiger and Bunny box set, and I can watch it at my leisure and not have to worry about streaming or anything like that.
You know, the results of the last 2 years of my efforts say you're not alone.
Yeah, well, sorry about that.
Hey, not your fault. Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel the same way. Unless there's a good remote control interface, and most people don't have one, it's just not as fun.
Yeah, just doesn't feel like you're relaxing. I think a lot of it is, maybe that's, you know what, maybe that's a thing. Because I sit in front of my computer all day to work. And when I'm in front of my TV, I feel like I'm relaxing. In front of my computer, I feel like I'm working.
So if you had a Roku and you were able to watch the stuff on Crunchyroll with your remote control, would that make a big difference?
Maybe it would. I don't know.
Because, like, do you feel that way with Netflix?
Yeah. Netflix on my, like, Xbox, yeah, feels like relaxing.
Yeah, so then, yeah, that would work.
All right, well, I'm still not going to buy a Roku. He also asks, why do you guys always seem so tired?
Because we are.
My answer is July is why I feel so goddamn tired.
Well, if I was shot out of cannon all the time, I probably wouldn't be recognizable as me.
No, you'd be working in marketing somewhere. Yeah. All right, Arsenet asks, stupid question, but will Only Yesterday ever see the light of day here in the USA? Totally late to the party, but I loved it.
I sure hope so. Probably not by Disney, but who knows? Anything's possible.
Right.
And I've been reminding people that that exists, and hopefully something will come of it. Who knows?
They do own the rights to it, don't they?
They do, but it's one of those where they don't know what to do with it. It's such an art house play that they know won't sell the number of units that it'll take to market it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such an art house film that requires a lot of liner notes to get fully.
I'd kind of be surprised if that ever saw a release in the U.S. It's just too, I mean, that's a very special thing. Like, that's a very small audience for that thing. Ted Warner asks, what anime did you buy that you thought was good but turned out it wasn't? Well, you just mentioned one.
Which one did I mention?
Zammed.
Oh, yeah, Zammed. also, Key the Metal Idol.
You know what? I can agree with you. I bought Key the Metal Idol and really didn't like it past the second episode.
That is probably one of the best first episodes of an anime ever made, and it goes down. It spirals so far downhill that the last episode, they ran out of money to shoot the still frames on film and had to pause the videotape, and you can see the grains stop during the voiceovers.
Jesus Christ, really?
It is garbage, and that made me so angry.
Wow. It's been so long. It's been a really long time since I've seen that.
The first episode's worth watching. It's a really great first episode, and then after that, it's just shits the bed.
Yeah, all right. Anime I bought that I thought was going to be good but wasn't.
Did you buy Lotus War?
It's really... Yes, that's a good one. Lotus War, which stops being good after the first episode as well. But you know, for some reason, that's a controversial opinion that Lotus War is only good for one episode, but it really is.
Lotus War is not a good show.
It's not a good show, but that first episode is neat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, you're like, ooh, well-animated dragon. Then you're like, oh, wow, this is indescribably boring.
Yeah, it's shitty. And badly animated after the first episode. Lotus War is a good one. And, boy, I hate to say this, but the thing that's immediately popping in my head is Trigun. Because I was buying I was buying those singles for $30 a piece when they were coming out. And that show gets kind of dumb and boring after, like, the first 10?
Once, like, the gimmick once it got serious, I just didn't care anymore.
Right, exactly. Once that show gets serious, I don't care.
Didn't care anymore to the point of never wanting to rewatch the first half.
Yeah, right. Right, like, I sold those singles long ago in some fit of college-based brokenness.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'd ever really revisit it. I mean, I don't know. Trigun. I hate to put that one out there as an example of something I thought would be good, but ultimately wasn't. And yeah, no, Trigun. That I paid a lot of money to watch. Okay, Ludono gave us a bunch of questions. Well, I told you we had a lot of these.
Yeah.
One franchise that needs to die. Can be any franchise, anime-related or otherwise. I'm going to say, I've got one, Final Destination.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Had it with those. Especially because the trailer seems to show you all of the deaths. And once you've seen all the deaths in a Final Destination movie, you don't need to watch the movie.
I don't know. All of the movies I don't care about, which is most of them, I pay so little attention to them that they don't bother me in the slightest.
Yeah, good plan.
Strategy. It doesn't bother me. If people want to see them, go knock yourself out. Somebody needs to fill 20 of the 30 screens of those multiplexes.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't know. In terms of anime, like, they run through shit so fast now that it... I mean, I can't think of anything off the top of my head that's like, oh, man, stop making these.
Yeah, they haven't really... I mean, the only thing that's going that long that anime fans care about, I mean, that isn't Doraemon or Sazae-san or something, is One Piece, and you still like One Piece.
Yeah, well, One Piece is still okay. I guess a lot of people have really soured on Naruto. Like, they're really done with it.
Oh, yeah. They did run that into the ground, didn't they? You know, that's my answer, then, Naruto.
Well, there's no end in sight, either. Like, from what I understand, it's not going anywhere. Like,
hearing that there might be, like, it seems, but they've been saying that for years.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, that show has been going for over 10 years, and it's there was an arc at some point. Put the period on the sentence.
Well, the show started in like 2000. I want to say 2003.
I was at CPM at the time. I think
when the show began.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in one of our preview guides. The start of Naruto is in one of our preview guides. That's how long I've been doing this. I think it's about time for that to end, but I know it's still making money, so it won't until it stops making money. Once it stops making money, they'll drop it like a rock, but yeah. No, I would say that because you could sit down and tell me, like, okay, here's what happened in Naruto. And while I'm vaguely curious, I know I would stop caring after about 2 minutes. Like, okay, well, Naruto's doing this. Sasuke's doing that. Like, I wouldn't care. Right. I want to know what the final end thing is, but not any of the story in between.
Exactly. I mean, it's just like, we've had so much of that. It's just, end it already and tell us how it happens.
Yeah. Okay, a little bit of a silly question here. You can only have one kind of sandwich. Every sandwich ingredient known to humankind is your immediate disposal. What do you make?
Pastrami and tongue on rye.
Seriously?
Dead serious. I'm a New Yorker, man. Once you've had that done right, there is no other sandwich in the world.
Pastrami and tongue.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to go with a nice, chicken salad. Maybe on whole wheat, a little bit of lettuce, a little tomato. Real simple. Kind of like that kind of thing. I think I'm good with that.
Next time you're out here, I got to take you to Billy's Diner.
You know what? I'm just not a pastrami guy.
Oh, okay.
Just not a fan. Too much red meat, I think.
Oh, yeah, that would be a problem.
Yeah. All right. Let me see if I have any other remote.
Once you've been served a sandwich of meat that's about the size of a large hard drive.
Okay. Jaron Imenich asks, recently more companies have had a larger outreach with fans talking about releases and stuff, but it seems like both Media Blasters and Manga Entertainment have been super silent about everything they're doing. Why do you suppose they do that?
That's pretty simple.
Right.
Manga has no... Manga is a brand for a large conglomerate. They don't have any fully dedicated staff for the brand. Closest that they have is Steve, who was on our show at one point. Mm-hmm. And he's dividing up his time between lots of different stars activities. So, yeah, it's not really... when you have no central staff for a brand, that brand tends to not have a lot of interaction with fans.
Right, and Media Blasters has never been really super open.
No, they like keeping their head down, just doing what they do. And now that they are working with much fewer staff than they did in years past, there's even less manpower to go around answering fan questions. So
yeah, and that's what Section 23 does now too, and it actually kind of works for them, because why deal with a super finicky, demanding fan base when you can just keep your head down, do what you do, what hits, hits, what doesn't, doesn't. You don't have to... Not everything has to be this stress-inducing, drama-filled interaction with the fans. Like, just put out what you're going to put out, keep your head down. Like, it does seem to work for some companies. I don't think it would work for, like, a Funimation. But
it wouldn't work for us.
It wouldn't work for us, but it does work for them. It is working for them. A lot of people say it's not, but it is.
It is a thankless task, I gotta say. I mean, I was that guy for Central Park Media.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, there were times where I just wanted to hurl my monitor out the window onto 57th Street. There is so little... There are so many people dying to tell you how to do your job and are convinced that they could do it better than you. And it's really, really frustrating. And most of them have no manners, and it's utterly thankless, and I don't blame any of these companies for not wanting to do it.
Zaruda, our friend Gatsu, why do you think Viz is celebrating its 25th anniversary without making any major announcements?
Because that's not how they want to celebrate their 25th anniversary?
Yeah, well, license announcements are not the be-all, end-all of any anime company's existence. I mean... Yeah, it's a big part of it, but the 25 years old, you know, it's post-college.
Well, not only that, and I mean, none of the people that were there back then are still there. None of them.
Nah, I mean, hey, look, I ran into Urian Brown at Comic-Con, and he still works at Shonen Jump.
Okay, well...
He's been there a very long time.
nonetheless, you know, they had a lot of turnover,
yeah,
and
no,
they've
right,
been through
right,
a lot. They're barely the same company that they were back in 2000 or back in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, they just scored this year the one property that's Japan's produced in the last 3 years. That's mainstreamable. That's a big win, and they haven't really started doing anything with it yet, other than simulcasting it. And that's, you know what. You're not going to do any better.
Yeah. I mean, it's their birthday. Let them celebrate it how they want to instead of demanding that they give you something new. I mean, come on.
I'm sure they had a very nice office party with a cake.
I am absolutely sure they did. All right, we got one more. One more. Sewing Rose Levin asks, what are you hoping to get at the former Borders closest to you?
Nothing. Those prices got jacked up to full retail before they knocked 10% off.
Yeah.
If you are buying shit there, you're dumb right now.
Yeah. No, it's nuts. I got a Borders that's literally like a freeway exit away from me that wasn't on the chopping block until they decided to fully liquidate. And you will be getting better prices on Amazon than you will from a closing Borders for about a month.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to take them a really long time. And what will be left at that closing Borders is not anything that you're going to want.
Store closing sales in general are a terrible... place to shop. You will not get a good deal, or you might get broken shit.
Well, then, and they're taken over by these horrible liquidating companies that have these awful practices that are, you know, I imagine it's good for them or whatever, but you walk in and it's like, hey, 10% off, full price 2010 calendars, you know, and it's really awful deals. Like, you're not getting a good deal at those things. So I don't plan on hitting up any Closing Borders.
All I remember is I went in a Circuit City that was closing, and it was up to like 40 or 50% off. It was in the latter stages of closing. And they had a flat panel TV, some plasma or something, with it was completely smashed. Like, someone had like thrown a brick at it, it looked like. $300.
Right. And I always wondered, like, unless you're opening a bookstore or are A-okay with your apartment looking really weird, who is buying the fixtures? Like, do you really want, like, a big, bulky, like, plywood Borders newsstand-style magazine rack, like, in your house? Isn't that just going to look really weird?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you have, like, a, you know, a little mom-and-pop store, I imagine you'd want some of those fixtures.
Yeah, yeah, that could work. But the people I see actually buying them and hauling them out of there, it's like, what?
What will you do with that?
Yeah. It's going to look really weird in your apartment, man.
I want the Seattle's best stand for my coffee maker.
All right, all right. Okay, well, that about wraps it up for this first guest-free episode of AnCast.
We went over an hour anyway.
We did anyway. So there you go. We're a bunch of blowhards.
Excellent.
All right, well, I hope everyone has a great time at Otakon this weekend. And thanks for shooting the shit, Justin.
No problem. Hey, one last disclaimer. I talked about the NIS Blu-rays. I am now authorized to comment on them in the forums, so don't ask.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right. See y'all next time. Okay, that's our show. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivision.net. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. And while you're there, leave us a review, a little rating. We'd appreciate it. And hey, see y'all next week.